For January the 23rd, 2015, we talk about the recent Rock Band announcements, Metal Gear Rising Revengeance, and we ask you what your standard RPG character type is. Welcome to the 90th level. My name is Cole Ross.
My name's David Meismith.
I'm Jella Prendes.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Guys, I'm very sorry about last week. I was sick. It ended up being a bad week for everybody. David, you were starting school. Ben, you were moving.
Yeah.
So it sorry. We don't like missing a week, but sometimes we do. And yes, also because we missed a week, we had to delay the announcement of the winner for the haiku contest about level titles, or level episode titles. I'm never quite clear on which one it should be. But how about this? We're going to announce those at the end.
Suspenseful.
Yay!
That is a radio trick to get people to listen. Even though, as we said in the pre-roll, you could probably just skip to the end and listen to see if yours won. There's one other thing I want to hit at the start here. We're doing a merch survey. That's right. There is a 10-question survey up for anybody here listening. If you want to go to duckfeed.tv/merch survey 2015, you can answer that, and you'll get a chance to win one of 8 Steam games that we have just kind of kicking around, laying there. Enter that. We've already got some great responses. We're trying to figure out how we can get you T-shirts and shit. So takes a couple of minutes, and the deadline is January the 31st at 11:59 p.m. Eastern time. So as long as you answer when it is January where I live, then you're good.
You say 8 games, and the first thing I think of is the 8 Robot Masters.
Oh, yeah. We could probably theme it some kind of cut game. I don't. Yep. That is exactly how much juice I'm working with tonight. Jala, thank you so much for stepping in for Dennis.
Thank you for having me. I've been way overdue.
Yeah. I was going back there doing some numbers. The episodes where you showed up have been really popular.
Hooray!
Yeah.
It's the girly charm. I don't know.
Hey. Yeah. How about you, Ben? You're all settled in?
I'm trying to think of the equivalent of the Butterfield bump up for Jala. The Jala. No, I don't know. Prendes push.
Yeah, the Prendes push. There we go. That's as good as anything, I think. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So let's jump right into it. We got the regular kind of run of the show. We got some brief. We got some multiplayer talking about role playing rig out, and then we're gonna round things out with the grind. But let's do that first thing I said, which was
the brief,
where we talk about things that are happening in the world around us. Jala, since you haven't been here for a while, do you have a news story for us?
I do, sort of, kind of. First off, I wanted to ask Cole, have you guys talked about her story at all?
No, this is the one from Silent Hill, Shattered Memories producer, right?
Yeah, I'll drop you a link. Give me a sec.
Yeah. I'm all crazy right, excited so, about it, but give us the rundown.
Okay, so in either case, it is on Steam Greenlight. It is set to come out in the early part of this year on PC, Mac, and iOS. It is by the designer, writer of Silent Hill Shattered Memories, Sam Barlow. It is not survival horror. It's entirely FMV and involves a police database containing taped interviews with a woman regarding the disappearance of her husband. So you basically Google in the game, from what I understand. You don't directly interact. There are not movement buttons. Mm-hmm. Instead, you type search queries and the database returns clips of answers spoken by the woman. It's nonlinear, and that's about anything that anybody knows. Like, if you go and you look at the video on the Steam Greenlight page, it doesn't really tell you anything. You just see clips of this woman talking, and I was like, you know, this might be interesting to Cole for various reasons. So
you got the FMV angle, you got the Silent Hill Shattered Memories angle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think there's multiple ways that this speaks directly to me.
Yeah.
I feel like, though, I wonder about what the pitch was for SQL, the game.
Yeah.
We sequel the game, whatever.
Well, no, they have to put out the original one before they put out the sequel, David.
Yeah. Once again, I'm shaking my head at you.
That's the post roll. I've disappointed David so many times today that we've broken linear time. Yep. This looks great. It's kind of similar. Has anybody here played Analog: A Hate Story?
No.
Or Hate Plus?
No. Is that good?
Yes. I like it. It's a text-based version kind of this, except instead of sussing out the story through these kind of taped interviews, which, man, they nailed the look of that. there's something about FMV and the way this thing is shot. Instead of that, it's kind of email correspondence, and there's a little bit of like a hacking. Basically, the idea is you've hacked into this Korean space station, and you're trying to suss out what happened to it among the various different clans that used to live on there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I actually have a second very brief thing that's kind of related to it loosely.
Yeah. All that I will say is Silent Hill Shattered Memories is on point, and I recommend everybody do whatever they can to play it. Yeah. What's the semi-related one?
The semi-related one, I will paste another link for you, is that there was an iPhone patent filed in 2013 for an iPhone design that has a joystick where the home button is specifically to try to overcome the shortcomings of touchscreen gaming. And although there aren't any design plans in the works right at this point for it yet, the people at Forbes magazine think that possibly the earliest it could even show up would be 2017 with the 7S. But, you know, so it may not ever come to light. But the fact that you can look at the design specs where they actually have a little spring loaded, joystick thing is kind of neato anyway. And the reason why that's kind of related is because her story is supposed to be coming out on iOS and Mac as well. So yes. iPhone, you get it. So.
Yeah. I saw
Wait,
that.
So with the most recent 3DS, is this now Apple is officially behind Nintendo?
Just that any Apple device or iOS device is always going to have one less analog stick than a DS will?
Oh, I just mean in terms of the whole, like, you know, how is this, like, a patentable thing? If hasn't this been on the PSP since like I was in high school?
I believe the patent is not on the nipple nub kind of construction for a like the disc, right? Like the sliding disc version of the analog stick. It's more on the idea that there is an input method that can be popped out, like. You'll see press in or you do something magical that makes it pop out and makes it turn into a joystick as opposed to it always being one.
Okay. And
is it only related to phones or is it related to any device?
Well, if you look at the schematics that are on the link I sent you, it's specifically for an iPhone. So it's specifically an iPhone design where they have this particular feature. So,
yeah.
I wonder, like, why would they even need to patent things that are, like, exclusive to iPhones, you know? Because, like, it seems like I don't know how anyone else could I don't know. It would be, like, a Mad Catz type company would do that or something, maybe?
Hypothetically, hypothetically, Samsung could say, we have this phone that has a circular home button that when you press it in, it also turns into a joystick. We're, you know, so the idea that's coming out in 2017, usually the patents are 2 years ahead of any kind of like actual implementation or prototype, especially at Apple. Their pipeline, at least in the past, has been, 2 years out. Right. My worry is that even the plain old, like just basic ass home button, they've kind of messed up a little bit recently. Like there was that big thing with the 5 or the 5S where the home screen button just kind of stopped working. Something
oh,
like
that's
that.
Cute.
Like, I don't know. It seems weird to me to move in a direction where they're adding movable parts to their phone construction as opposed to removing movable parts.
Yeah. Sure.
Although I suppose if you ever want to have good action-y gaming, I don't see how you could ever get away from it.
Right, but it's that I think is the place for like a third party, like, oh, a shell that you put it in, which the market is lousy with those right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. That and like Bluetooth controllers and stuff. Like you can get a Bluetooth controller that looks like an SNES controller for your, you know, for your iPad or, you know, everything. Like since they opened up the spec in like iOS 7 or iOS 8, like that is totally a thing.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that.
Approximately.
the controllers?
Yeah.
Somebody at work got like a Logitech one for like $60.
Okay. I just got Bubble Bobble on my iPad not that long ago. Yeah. You know what that means?
That this is probably in your future.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I got Load Runner, like the Load Runner Classic, and turns out like that's not too terrible with a digital touchscreen, you know, digital D-pad.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I've kind of warmed up, but they just really have to do it right. Like,
yeah,
that Mega Man 2 port. For the for iOS is just terrible.
But, yeah.
Oh. Well. Yeah. I don't know. This could be pretty cool, but it's just Apple kind of has a long row to hoe in terms of kind of impressing me with their hardware.
Well, that's kind of why they were talking about on Forbes that they don't think it's going to show up for a while, because even though it was patented back in 2013, they still have to product test it, provided they even come up with something that's feasible, workable, and doesn't break all the time.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Mm-hmm. It's also, I mean, just not to get like the last thing this world needs is another Apple tech podcast.
Yeah.
Usually on the S, like, you know, the S series, Apple doesn't put in something kind of like that really is a huge change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they'll improve the camera. Like I think the biggest departure from that plan was like the 5S adding the Touch ID to it. So that possibly could be it, but just like that's pretty major, and also kind of like indicates Apple thinking more about gaming than they ever have in the entire past.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. I don't know. It's weird. I just kind of want them to get like their battery game on point is my only thing that I wish.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I feel like in general, I kind of want humanity to get their battery game on point.
It seems like it would solve a lot of problems, right?
Yep.
David, how about you? You got a story?
So, have you guys seen PlayStation Now?
We talked about it before.
Mm-hmm.
Did we talk about the actual beta now that they've got prices out, stuff like that?
I don't know in that much detail. So it seems like they've been in and out of beta or entering different phases of beta for about a year now.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
So apparently now they are in the pay us money version of beta.
Yes.
Which
the name does seem misleading if they open with beta. It's like it should be called PS later, you know.
Right. There you go.
PS eventually.
Yeah, I feel like maybe they a little bit, like you said, don't get the idea of beta, especially considering the prices are actually fairly high.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, beta has been a marketing term for, you know, well, let's say 11 years now. Gmail launched in beta, right?
Has Gmail officially exited beta yet?
Yeah. There was a big to-do about it. They actually included a labs feature where you could take a box that would put beta back on the logo just in case you freaked out when you didn't see the beta under the Gmail logo in your interface. What is your life like?
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can rent for 4 hours up through 90 days. And it seems like it seems like the 4 hours is a little odd considering I don't think you can play anything in 4 hours.
You can get a taste of it. You can dip your snoot, you know.
Yeah,
so you can use it for only 4 hours?
Yes.
Yeah, it gives you a limited time to play it.
Well, I'm rather the rental. So how long you're running the game for is 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like most games, you know, they have the list of games that are currently on there. And basically any game you would want to play, like, is at least $15 for for a 90-day rental.
But I mean, if you're going to rent it for 90 days, why don't you just buy it?
I feel like that's the issue.
That's like 90
I'm
days
not following on this.
Like that's not a rental. That's like a warranty almost. Like it's like buying a game with the understanding that it's going to break.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard too because you're not even buying like a product, right? This is a digital copy only. So I don't know. Whatever.
Well, you're streaming it. So the big thing about this is a vector to get PlayStation 3 games onto the PlayStation 4.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is their version of kind of like side loading backward compatibility onto this in a way that you pay for. So it is backward compatibility without the benefit of being able to play things you already own.
Yeah.
I guess just strikes me as kind of overpriced for that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe part of this is because I take a long time to play games, so I would kind of have to do the 90 days if I wanted to beat anything.
Mm-hmm.
But even, yeah, you know, let me pull up like.
But like while you're pulling that up, I almost wonder if there's an option. This is a failure of research on my part to just outright buy it and say I can stream this whenever I want. And
there is not. There is for $15 a month. You can simply do the Netflix model and just stream whatever you want whenever you want.
You can graze, yeah, and that's probably what they're trying to shunt people over to for the, right. for the predictable
or,
revenue.
It's either 15 or 20. It seems like people can't decide how much it's going to be. But
it depends how much you got.
Exactly. So yeah,
PS Now's gonna shake you down
thing,
from.
I'm a little. disappointed with this. I'm kind of interested to see how much of this is actually streaming being expensive for them and how much of it is just kind of a bit of a cash grab.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like, it is kind of a, you know, to a certain extent, them getting money for nothing, right? They're not packaging or shipping any kind of product. I don't know what the bandwidth costs of streaming versus just, you know, sending a dump truck full of that data to somebody's house. You know, like right. Really all they have is just kind of the licensing, right? Mm-hmm. I was curious, I just about rented something for 4 hours or whatever just to see what the quality was going to be like, because that'd be the big thing, you know, because this is on live, like your inputs are being sent to their data center and the video is being sent back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Ben, as somebody who, you know, really kind of likes to dig into a game, does this appeal to you at all?
Well, you know, it's like the same reason why I'm not a big fan of PlayStation Plus. I just like to own the games that I have, but I know that's more of a personal preference, so.
Dinosaur, antiquated notions.
Yeah. I like my content to be done and polished when I play it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, these are finished games. Like, you can play Catherine.
Yeah, that's true.
Man, just a bunch of stuff I don't really want to play on this.
Like, yeah, I kind of wonder. It sort of looks like they pick these games by putting every game on an index card.
I'm listening.
Perhaps Cole's backlog, taping them up to a wall and throwing darts at them.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Are they just streaming my backlog? No wonder my cable bill's so high. I'm not billed. That joke made no sense. Give me a break. Life is hard sometimes. Oh, I can stream both Infamous and Infamous 1. Sorry, I'm just looking at this list of titles. Jala, as somebody who primarily does stuff on Steam, like, how does this sound to you?
I'm kind of with Ben in that I'd rather just have the game, because if I want to play it, I want to play it. I jump around, as anybody listening to this knows. I jump from game to game all the time. I'm constantly just looking around and trying different stuff and keeping myself fresh on games in general by just trying out a bunch of different things and not sticking to a certain game style or whatever for too long. Mm-hmm. So for me, like streaming, I guess it would actually make sense because I would only, you know, play like a few hours of it or whatever, be done with it. But then if I want to go back to it, then that may be a problem for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least Steam gives you the game, you know, and you have the rights to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they make it convenient. So, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But like on the other side, and I'll kind of speak to, you know, just a part of me, like I can see worse ways to spend like a, you know, a Friday or Saturday evening. Like, okay, I want to try this game. I don't want to drop all of the money on it at once. If I paid a nominal fee or if I was just in on this as a subscription, like, okay, I probably wouldn't have played. I'm just going to look here, Retrograde, you know, but I might now if, you know, if this is an option, but like, I guess the pricing just has to be there.
So
I suppose if you could convince them to stream anything that ends up on Watch Out for Fireballs, this could be a convenient way for people to do it.
Oh, it's a lucrative co-licensing opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been watching a lot of Dragon's Den, you guys, so I'm going to be saying stuff like that from now on. Oh.
I also, and this is completely random, I just want to throw out that Alone in the Dark Inferno sounds like the least promising title for a game I've ever heard.
The game's actually pretty good. I mean, really? It's bad, it's not great, but it is the updated and improved version of, it is the game they should have released on Xbox 360, but they didn't.
Just like survival horror plus Inferno doesn't seem.
Yeah, it's also open world.
and the
overall presentation and aesthetic gives Deadly Premonition a run for its money vis-a-vis goofiness. It's pretty crazy. Yeah, I have actually a very, I'm very fond of that game, but
Deadly Premonition.
Both actually.
Oh,
did David? Did you end up getting Deadly Premonition on the PSN?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So you're going to talk about it this week?
No.
Oh, okay, cool. I mean, not cool. I'm disappointed.
Let me change that. I have the rights to have it. I've not gone around to it yet.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it's only a 20-hour game. That's fine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not too bad. Right.
Yeah. Ben, how about you? You got a story?
I do. So my story is about video footage that was found this week of unmade Saints Row expansion game, just like a tiny little game that they were making. The name of it is called Money Shot, and in it you play a sniper with a magic bullet, and you just have targets that are like, you know, several city blocks away, not within eyesight. And the way it works is you fire a bullet and you control it kind of in a Matrix-esque bullet time. But as you like go down the street or you basically make your way to a target, and then you have to try and steer it towards that person.
So it's like the Nikita missiles for Metal Gear Solid?
Yeah, it's like that. But like three dimensions, and then you can interact with the environments and kind of like basically just get points for hitting things as you go towards your target. So the video footage was found by somebody named Banana Swag on YouTube.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah. Who he apparently was also the person who found Battlefront 3 footage as well.
Oh, wow.
So apparently this is becoming a hobby for him.
Is this the Edward Snowden of concepts?
I guess so.
Yeah.
And I probably shouldn't be
footage. Like, is he going through their trash?
I don't know. Maybe they're recycling bin.
Yeah. Yeah. He goes into the recycling bin. Should have done a secure delete. Yeah. That's funny that they like that it's being called an expansion, because that sounds like a mini game.
I was the one who called it an expansion. That was my fault, not theirs.
No,
it wasn't really intended to be a big thing. And in fact, I think they said that it was intended to be free on the PlayStation Network.
Oh.
And it was also going to be on the 360, and apparently it was supposed to be on the Nintendo 3DS as well. So it's just a tiny game in the universe. But yeah.
I feel like that is a game I would love to play on the Oculus Rift.
Like, yeah, that would be interesting.
You look to direct the bullet.
Yes.
Yeah. Instead of I am bread, it's I am bullet.
Yeah.
All right. Huh. That's actually pretty crazy. Sorry.
Yeah.
This like Gat Out of Hell came out today too, which
yeah.
I'm kind of curious about that because that trailer, guys, that Gat Out of Hell trailer.
Yeah. Is the game a musical or just the trailer?
Mean, one can dream.
Because if the game is a musical, call it a game of the year.
Yeah. It's actually gotten mediocre to middling reviews, but like, I don't know. I like that universe. I'd like to go back to that.
Yeah.
Huh. Neat. So I did have a story, but I'm going to change my story because I remembered something happened in the intervening week. New Rock Band songs came out.
Dun dun dun.
Ooh.
They're still making rock bands?
Yeah, well, yes. The rock music is not dead, despite what people, you know, might have told you, that electric guitar music is going to stick around. Those kids from Liverpool are going to have to get respectable haircuts and jobs soon, I tell you what. Let's all listen to Glenn Miller. Oh, God, plane crash. That's sad.
Speaking of depressing things, did you hear Paul McCartney was doing the Journey soundtrack?
I'm sorry, what? Or yeah, the Destiny soundtrack?
Destiny, excuse me. I always confuse those two games, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, one of those games has a bland name and is amazing. The other one has a bland name and is, you know,
mediocre.
Destiny. Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of felt bad. I was actually in class today, and this was like a huge auditorium class, and the professor's like, oh, so how many of you have played Destiny? And like me and one other person raised their hands.
Why is this professor talking about Destiny?
Can you ask for your money back?
It was
a design class, and it was instances of storyline and products or something, and just basically people spending a whole bunch of time on something basically just to get story.
Mm.
Except for the fact that the story's kind of awful, but that's not the point.
Yeah. Huh. But yeah, so Rock Band, after 2 years, like they pretty soundly shuttered the doors on that whole operation. Like they did, you know, it's like, okay, American Pie, and that's everything. We're going to close down Rock Band Network. Except last week, they release a song off the new Foo Fighters album, something from Avenged Sevenfold, and a pretty good Arctic Monkeys song.
Which Arctic Monkeys song?
Are You Mine?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. There's a song on that album that I think you would like. I forget the name of it, but it sounds like Queen of the Stone Age.
Yeah.
And so that's why. Yeah.
Josh Homme didn't produce that album, but he produced previous albums. And they're very much in the same vein. By listening to Are You Mine, you would think, oh, that's Josh Homme on the background vocals. No. No. In fact, he has nothing to do with it. But yeah, that's very, very, very astute of you. I like the Arctic Monkeys. They're good. But yeah, so they put that out and kind of really spooky because we just did that Rock Band episode of Watch Out for Fireballs, which we have to go at least, you know, we have to have at least two spooky coincidences a year.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That seems legit.
Yeah.
You already burned through one of them.
I know, right? Oh man, we're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. At least two, though. At least two. This could just be like every other day is like dead genres coming back.
Well, we have to prep for, you know, next year's you know, spooky supercut, right?
Yeah, I know.
Ooh.
Okay, so everybody listening, just mark down the times of every time we say something spooky. That way, Dennis's job is easier because I'm not going to keep track of that. yeah, and then you know, it's like that same week, Harmonix came out and was like, "Hey guys, would you be interested? Like, what would you like to see in a modern version of Rock Band, like a current gen kind of thing?" And like a survey, like a very blatant kind of appeal, which like totally corroborated my hypothesis, which was, let's just like use our clout to license a couple of these songs, put them out and see how the market responds, see if people are still hungry for it. So I'd be very curious if they're going to share those numbers, because that would be a fantastic bit of market research. Like this is a very different industry than it was 8 years ago when they first put out Rock Band. So is that even a possibility anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm excited, but I think that you've heard me speak for 3 hours on Watch Out for Fireballs about why Rock Band excites me. I don't know. How do you guys feel?
even Rock Band is outside of my musical talents. So, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Am I the only person who cares?
Well, I mean, I think it's cool, but I don't have any Rock Band stuff anymore. So it's like, I don't know what to do about that.
Yeah, you just got to build it back up.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. I'll come over to your house sometime and play it there.
Yeah.
That's how that game works.
Yep, that is how that game works. I got you, Doc. That's good. If they did it, I'd probably go in. I mean, depending on what the deals were. But like, how many like new songs could they put in that I don't already own? Like, how much can they surprise me with that? And also, like, Rocksmith is a thing and it's really good.
Yeah.
Well, on the first point, I mean, presumably, I don't know much about music, but people still make it, right?
No, not since the laws. Not since the laws they passed.
Dang it.
So it is the world without music that John Lithgow predicted in 1982.
I was going to say, is it the John Cage laws?
Yeah. It's a law where the only music is the uncomfortable shuffling of an anxious crowd. Yes, that is the law. You know what? It is revised code 433.
Yeah, that's right. I hope the five people who got that enjoyed it.
Well, it's gonna be the title anyway, so they're gonna. Sorry, guys, I called it. You might as well not even try for the rest of the.
No more jokes. Shut it down.
Serious as church from now on, and not one of those newfangled guitar churches. Faith Rock Band. How about that?
Maybe that's how Rock Band will expand into the market.
Yeah.
Didn't they do that already?
I don't know. I mean, like, I don't even know if they had like a real strong they had a fucking Mute Math song on there. I know that, but they're like one of those bands that is only like, you know, they're stealth down with the G's.
That gives a new meaning to getting saved though in Rock Band, you know?
I'm tilting it up. Why can't I save you? I'm sorry. Yeah. Only one person can save.
Oh, and that's
I didn't mean to commit sacrilege. I'm sorry. If I offended anybody's sensibilities with my amazing joke. No. Yeah, that'd be crazy. You know what? I'm positive that there actually was, David, like a faith-based Rock Band or a faith-based Guitar Hero.
Yeah, I'm pretty
like on PC sure or something like that. Like it made the rounds on like the bad video game YouTube kind of guys. So I just about
was frantically Googling for that.
Yeah, I just about wrote in Christian Rock Band, which Cole.
Whoops.
You know what? Guitar Hero.
A lot of beards and unbuttoned shirts.
Yeah, a lot of staring right into the camera. Ooh, yes. This is a game called Guitar Praise, which is a Christian rhythm video game.
How is praise spelled?
P-R-A-I-S-E.
All right.
Praise. It's
Were
solely...
you hoping for some Z's?
It's hoping for the A-Y-S.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, exactly. Ooh, the soundtrack is long enough to warrant its own subpage.
Ooh.
Oh, gosh. I'm sorry. I'm just looking on here. Of course, there's a DC Talk on here. Man, we're really missing out by not having Dennis on here for this. Oh.
Do they have any ICP on it?
you are. I'm sure there's something you can bring to this, Jala. No, there's no ICP, although they are technically a Christian band.
Wait, how is that?
Yeah, they revealed at the Dark Carnival that that it's all an allegory for Jesus.
Yeah, duh. Yep.
Nothing makes sense anymore.
Yeah. Do you guys want to guess how many Newsboys songs are on here?
I figured all of them.
No. You got seven. You got seven Newsboys songs.
I was going to say five. I was close. Yeah.
Do you guys want to guess how many Striper songs are on here?
I don't even know these bands. This is tough for me.
Yeah. DC Talk and Newsboys pretty much was the only ones that I've ever listened to.
Yeah, Striper's kind of old school Christian rock. They're a little bit like faux hair metal. Like they ran like 80s Christian glam metal. If you said 23 Striper songs, then you would be absolutely correct.
Wow, yeah.
Yep. 23 Striper.
That's all I've got is just wow.
Yep.
Skillet was kind of borderline, and they had some decent stuff there was on.
No. Oh, I'm sorry. Striper is it is an expansion. Skillet, you said?
Yes.
Oh, you're in luck. Three Skillet songs. Let's just do this. Let's just get this out here.
Haste the Day? Is there Haste the Day on there? That's Christian death metal, I believe.
No. They got a flyleaf, though. They managed to stick a flyleaf in there.
Okay.
It's kind of on the edge,
Audio
you guys.
Adrenaline.
No, but they... Oh, yeah, actually, nope. Audio Adrenaline, DC-10, which a little bit closer to DC Talk, you guys. I think you're crowding it on the namespace.
Do they got Puddles of Mud?
No Puddles of Mud, but they also don't have any Jars of Clay.
That's what I was thinking of. Man, never mind.
They do have James Clay, though, so...
They got some kind of clay, so yeah, it's okay.
They have his non-union Mexican equivalent.
This brings back memories.
How many Toby Mac songs do you think we got on there? A little bit of guitar rap?
Well, do the DC Talk songs count?
Wait a second. Is there affiliation between Toby Mac and DC Talk?
He broke off from them.
Yeah, he broke off to go solo bolo. Yeah. Okay. Well, no. So just Toby Mac running under the banner of Toby Mac. We got six. Count them, six. You guys. This is crazy. What is going on?
Let's see. Lecrae, any of his?
What's that?
Lecrae.
Why are you getting all these right? No, there's no Lecrae. I'm going to stop this quiz because this is alienating everybody.
But, I'm pretty sure John Voight's Christian and he's not going to like this part of the podcast.
Yeah, no, you know what? He's a family man. That's why he's so disappointed in his daughter, although he expects her to come back, you know, to eventually straighten up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I need to close this list because it's the craziest fucking thing I've ever seen.
Multiplayer.
All right. It is now time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question that Dennis asked you a little bit earlier today. Yes. So let me pull this up to see what Dennis asked. You guys, my vocabulary is infecting Dennis, and I feel a little bit bad about that. But Dennis asked.
You should.
What is your heuristic for creating RPG characters? Do you focus on strength, dexterity, charisma, stealth? Yeah, so you don't have to say heuristic. And somebody, Russell Nix, actually put in some kind of mathematical expression. So probably nailed it. I'm going to start us off with one that came in via the email. Let me look here. Check.
He also includes a go-to statement in that. Shame.
Yeah. What is? Man, that's some basic code, son. See, again, David's just shaking his head. So Graham writes in via the contact form saying, when it comes to rolling characters in video games in general, I like playing characters that excel in both physical attack and magic. However, depending on the setting, I'll lean towards a few archetypes. In games with more medieval settings, I will try to build my character to be a paladin like Cecil from Final Fantasy IV, favoring melee abilities and some supportive holy magic. In games with guns, I'll instead build my character up to be a sniper. Not every game gives you long-range options, so I'll either focus on dexterity or critical hits, or I'll opt out of sniper rifles for assault rifles. If I have skill points left to spend, I will pick up some magic skills. So he tends to favor brawn over that other stuff. We have a lot of responses.
Yep.
Yes, we do. Jala, what's Trent say?
Trent says, I usually research the game to see if charisma is useless or not. If it's not... talking my way out of bad situations is always more fun to me than the likely repetitive combat. If charisma is useless for that particular game, I usually try to make a well-rounded tank or support character.
Yeah, he's Trent is leaning into the duck feed standard. You know, talkie first, shooty later. Yeah.
Which I feel like is generally good policy for a podcast. Otherwise, we have some problems with the law.
Yeah. I could just, like, okay, we're going to record the new show every week. Go to a gun range with my portable recorder. Hey, guys, here you go.
Time to end the show. Bang, yep. Bang.
Yeah, it's like a rap album. Ben, what's Nick say?
Nick says strength because I like smashing stuff.
Good job.
I feel like my favorite payoff of that was, did any of you guys ever play Champions Online?
Did not.
That was the follow-up to City of Heroes, right?
Yes. Well, I don't like to admit it, but technically, yes. But no, if you had a high enough strength in that, you could literally like pick up semis and throw them at people.
Yeah.
As you do, yeah.
I forget. Like, I think one of the developers on that might have worked on the Incredible Hulk Ultimate Destruction game.
Oh, really?
Maybe, but that could actually be a lie. Who knows with me?
It depends on if you spend ace points on wisdom.
Ooh. It's not Planescape Torment. Why would I do that? Jala, what's Russell say?
Russell says, if game equals Fallout, set stat intelligence 9, class includes barbarians, go to barbarian.
I like how he capitalized it. As though he was shouting in a barbarian-like fashion.
Also, in other news, Russell is apparently a Cylon.
We broke him. Brad Carey writes in, I usually think too hard about what class I want to be and whether I should go for a mage slash support for once. And then every time I inevitably end up a strength slash dexterity build and spend the rest of the game crushing skulls. Why would you go mage or support if it wasn't an MMO? See, that's the thing, right? Like, if there are other people there, that actually kind of changes the conversation, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yep. What role am I gonna play in this? Like, I'm terrible at video games, so I'm going to be the healer so I can feel useful. I'm not saying that, like, for anybody who plays healer, I'm speaking solely for myself. Ben, what's Timothy say?
Timothy says, I'm a very non-confrontational person in my real life and extends to games. So if there is a way to get through a game without ever being seen or having to kill anyone, I'll take it. Otherwise, I'll probably play a goody-two-shoes, boring fighter-type character.
Yeah. I like these ones that actually ascribe some kind of like motivation behind it. Mm-hmm. It says like, oh, yes, I don't play games to escape. I play games to become a further version of me. This kind of non-confrontational kind of guy.
Yep. Well, I like it when you have, it's not just the easy road that you're taking. You're taking something based on your personality rather than, you know, oh, well, it's so much simpler if I just beat everything up. And yep. Not to knock the people who want to beat everything up. There are people such as David who like to smashy smashy all the time, and yeah. That's fine. But, you know, there are also other people who, you know, prefer other different types of gameplay. So yeah. Good job.
And they're like different games support different levels of that. Like you could say like, oh, Alpha Protocol is the best example of that, where actually picking the right response is as tricky of a gameplay, let's say proposition as actually fighting these guys, right? Like there's a little bit of skill as opposed to something that would go into like maybe a Fallout or like a BioWare RPG where it's mostly stat driven, or like all of the decisions that you've made up to this point have kind of built into that.
Yeah. I don't know. On the whole, despite it being the, the duck feed standard, I don't like games that have a talky stat. Simply, simply because it seems like that's almost always implemented as like, do you has? You know, like it, you know, there's no actual gameplay behind it. It's just either you have enough points in or you don't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like if there's a stat, especially one that you consciously have to put points into, then you're sacrificing, you know, gains in another area in order to make this other way to go smoothly. And usually like the writing is more clever in that regard, or you get to experience more. Like I oftentimes play games with talky stats for the writing content. you know, like, oh, you know, and so the dialogue is going to carry out and your reward is kind of more of what you're looking for, right? If you're there for guns, you can choose a game that plays more guns. If you're there for talkie, you have more talkie.
Or in Fallout, yeah, you can have a zero intelligence for the dialogue options as well.
Yes, you can. Oh, that is so
good. Yeah, I guess I wish I games. I really liked like the Deus Ex where you know you had to figure out people and you know find their tells and things like that.
Yeah.
I kind of always find myself wishing that whatever talking stat, instead of just being binary win or lose, it was just like, oh, we're going to make their tells more obvious.
Yeah. Yeah, like have you played Alpha Protocol, David?
I couldn't get over the horrible hacking and safe cracking and stuff like that controls, and eventually gave up.
Did you try and play it on PC or
PC?
Okay, I would recommend you can get it. You can probably rent it on PlayStation Now for $7, or you can buy like a copy of it for console. Because from what I understand, the PC version actually really does have just completely fucked interfaces for that. And it's like it was designed around console. I really think you would like find it delightful. It is like the heir apparent, and like what you're saying you wished these games were, it kind of is for that.
Nice. I got through the like first, I think the very first actual mission, and I liked what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it gets so much better after that, like after the Middle East, like after Saudi Arabia.
Except for the Russia boss fight.
What?
I mean, the style of it's cool. The difficulty of it is not.
Oh, come there's going to be a throwdown.
I will not hear anybody say anything bad about Breiko.
As I said, I like Breiko. I just don't like the difficulty of that mission. I've played through that game like two or three times, and I always spend an hour just on that mission.
This like a Deus Ex sort of thing?
Worse.
Worse than Human Revolution in terms of if you don't do the specific trick, like if you didn't do the missions in a certain order, then there's just a way that you can change the factors of the fight to really but man, turn up the radio. Sorry, I get it in my head that I want to replay that game, and it's like, no, you fool, you can't do that. There's no time. Jala, what does Carlos say?
Carlos says, in the Souls games, I try to roleplay a knight with full armor and a reasonable sword and shield, no magic whatsoever. In a game like Disgaea, I'll make myself a martial artist or fist-based attacker. I guess even though magic tends to be OP, I see it as too nerdy for a cool soul bro like myself.
Swole bro. He's a
swole bro. Okay.
Swole souls.
Kai.
Yeah. What? Is that what the slash S is?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. People really pride themselves on the no magic runs in Souls. Jala, have you tried playing Dark Souls 1 since they updated to Steamworks?
No, I did not. Mostly because I've just kind of had a kind of crazy last couple of months, so yeah, I haven't had a chance to mess with that yet, but that's kind of on my roster. Whenever I actually find myself with some time, I'm going to be moving in the next couple of months, so I don't know when, sometime maybe.
when is Bloodborne come out? Is it 2015 yet?
It is indeed 2015. I believe Bloodborne comes out on I better know this actually. March the 24th, I think. Yep, March 24th.
Nice.
Yep. So I'm looking forward to that, obviously. However, that week is going to be pretty rough as I try and beat it.
Yeah, I mean,
wait,
you got a big time for
Pi lesson
day.
On this last time.
Yeah, but we got to jump on that coverage quick. Got to strike that iron while it's hot. Yes, I understand how foolish that proposition is. Oh, man. Let's see here. David, what's Steven say?
Steven says, if intelligence explicitly only boosts magic rather than making the character smarter somehow, I usually ignore at first playthrough. I tend to angle more towards clever, nimble characters and always put at least 1 point in luck. I think I am always trying to recreate my ridiculous one arrow, one hit, one dead Gar, Wood Elf in Morrowind, or some version of my J.C. Denton, who spent the later half of Deus Ex popping out of ducks, invisible, and killing everyone from behind with an electric sword.
Yeah.
I can't recall how many times I played RPGs where I was a glutinous child thinking putting equal points into everything would work.
Yeah. I like the description of being a glutinous child. That's the best ever.
So he had several strands. He had several strands of protein that some people react poorly to, and it's kind of overblown and trained
to dietary. Is that supposed to be gluttonous?
It's supposed to be gluttonous, but yes. He misspelled it glutinous as though he was talking about some kind of packaged dough product.
Sorry, I've recently been playing. Later on in I think there's some point in Borderlands where they start switching those on you.
Gluttonous and glutinous.
Yes. So I'm now unable to distinguish.
Wait a minute, is Steven running game on us?
He might be.
Huh.
But now I want to play Deus Ex. I had forgotten that they just called him JC.
Yep. Well, yeah, that was his code name.
Well, and also, originally, they were going to do a Dan Brown thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, it's still a Savior story.
Right. But it was going to be explicit that he is a descendant of Christ.
Okay. Huh. That would have been really dumb.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. They do kind of throw conspiracies at the wall and see what sticks, but I feel like that would have been a little over the line.
Yeah. Well, you know, they could have just worked it into the Illuminati and made it like a Knights Templar. I believe they had the Templars in there, because why not? It was before putting Templars in your games was cool. let's see here. Brandon Goodrich writes in, if stealth or ranged combat are viable, I gravitate towards those. My Fallout 3 playthrough was a sniper / sneak 'em up and hit the guy with a bat combo. Huh. The Souls games I mostly play big and smashy. I like the idea of stealth, magic, and charisma, but outside of Fallout 3, I just can't seem to stop hitting things with giant clubs. You know, you got to do whatever's natural. Don't play the game in a way that's not going to be fun for you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Ben, what's David say?
David says, I tend to go with the rogue archetype. Being able to lockpick or hack and sweet talk tends to let you access most content. So I go with that and bring along a heavy hitter or a meat shield or both to cover combat.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I do too. Actually, it's all about seeing as much of the game as possible.
Yeah, that's how I do it too. So the duck feed standard.
The duck feed standard is like embossed in gold over like a printed leather bound dossier about how you're supposed to solve these situations, your briefing as it were. Huh.
Sitting on an end table by a fireplace.
Yep.
With Cole's pipe on top of it.
My pipe?
Yeah. I always imagine you smoking a pipe, Cole.
Oh, man. Just like a corncob pipe or like.
Yeah,
a,
I mean, I don't think there's any tobacco or anything in it, right, but right. Yeah.
just there.
But there is smoke coming out of it. Yeah.
Is it a bubble pipe like Garth has? Yeah,
exactly. Yes.
They could just have dry ice in there, make it look like there's smoke coming out.
I inhale and just smash cut to an ambulance racing down the hospital. Next episode, I'm on. I'm so sorry, guys. They had to shatter my vocal cords. It was all they could do. Jala, what's Phil say?
Phil says, depends. If the game is heavily dialogue-based, I like to have high charisma to talk my way into and out of trouble. After that, I normally try to balance strength and dexterity, not overreaching on either one. I save casting classes for the second playthrough.
Yeah. Sounds about right. David Allen.
Sure. Alan says, I usually opt for a balanced warrior type character. I don't like how vulnerable to physical attacks magic users tend to be. And my general playstyle tends to be hit enemy with sharp object until enemy falls down. Not very nuanced, but it's what I like.
Yeah.
Go with what you like.
Yeah. Yeah, the point.
I can support this. Honestly, I think that's one of my favorite things about the Souls games is just the degree to which they've kind of raised that, you know, generic sword and board to an art.
Yeah. I mean, like, in a lot of ways, the standard loop seems to be built around that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that I've ever played a game where blocking was such a, you know, outside of like a fighting game or, you know, whatever, where like that is a resource that you have to manage to the degree that it is there. Huh.
Yep.
Let's see here. Sean writes in saying, I tend to start games with a range character, whether that be a mage or an archer or whatever the equivalent archetype is. I'd like to give a good reason, but the truth is I like to cheese things. Yeah. I hear you. Ben, round us out with Christopher.
Christopher says, for the sort of RPGs I prefer, Fallout, Torment, Arcanum, etc., I usually focus mostly on speech and intelligent. Okay. And maybe small guns or short swords. Hey, you better watch out. There's a shortage of those.
Yeah.
So intelligence and then whatever I can blast or stab people with.
Yeah. Yeah. So people seem to be all over the map. Go ahead, Ben.
I did have one thing to add for my playstyle with Hitman games. I do really like to do the kill only your target strategy.
Yeah.
So that's definitely my playstyle for that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And like that ends up being like even more than just a regular stealth game. Like that makes it into a puzzle experience, right? Even more so.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
as opposed to my strategy on Assassin's Creed, which is they'll run out of guards eventually.
I hear people describe Assassin's Creed as a stealth game, and I really don't understand it.
I still not maintain, a well-made I one. Think Assassin's Creed got away from them. I think it should have been not so much a stealth game as a chase game. Mm-hmm. And I feel like after the first one, well, even the first one wasn't much of one, and after the first one, they just kind of threw that out.
Yeah, I just like it's an action game. Like, I like the idea of the, like, hiding in plain sight, like the crowd kind of thing. But I feel like they're too scattered and not focused enough. Did you have an answer to that question beyond, beyond the usual stealth and talk, see the most content kind of thing, Ben?
No, that's about it. Knights of the Republic, all about charisma. Hitman, all about stealth.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, Knights of the Republic, it's ridiculous to spec anything but charisma, right? Because you can actually get your force power to hinge on that, something?
Yeah, and it's a little bit different between 1 and 2, because in 2 you can use dexterity to influence your strength for some reason.
Yeah, you even do the feat, like the finesse attack or whatever?
Dexterity, yep. Mm.
Yeah.
Yep, yep, yep. Or... yeah, you're probably right. It's probably finesse.
Yeah,
I just said the name of the thing that
of the whatever. Staff that governs that you want to govern.
But I said it with authority, so it sounded trustworthy. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah. How about you, Jal?
It really depends on what game it is. Kind of like a lot of other people have said, I tend towards making some kind of a caster or a rogue type to sneak around. I like sneaking. I don't really care for range other than magic. Mm-hmm. But even with magic, either I tend towards like a stealthy character that has utilization magic that just kind of enhances my personal abilities. Or I like to do big destructive spells and some kind of a sword or something so I can, you know, run around and slash stuff and then back off and blow it up, you know.
What do you think is at the root of that? Do you think that's like just versatility? You want to be able to have as many kind of different verbs at your disposal as possible?
It could possibly be that. It might also just be my tendency to be kind of in the middle of everything in my real life. I kind of do a little bit of everything. I do Taibo stuff. I do yoga and meditation. I'm an artist. Whatever. I'm all over the board with what I do. So, you know, it's kind of like that with the game too, where I just kind of, I try to do, at least a couple of different things. So I have some different ways that I can strategically approach the game rather than just all I do is cast a spell. Like, that gets boring to me if all I can do is cast magic or, you know, sneak around and I can't, you know, like there's nothing else I can do with that. Like, I like it when the game allows me the flexibility to do more than one thing or to, you know, basically multi-class. Yeah. So,
like, outside of or along with David, I think that you're one of the people on the show who does the most kind of multiplayer, kind of group-based kind of stuff. Is there a role on the team that you find yourself gravitating towards?
I usually end up playing either a frontline support or a mage in most games like that. In playing Gauntlet with David, Nolan, and Slade, I play the Valkyrie, who has the spear and the shield. And so, you know, like there is a magic user, but I don't play the magic user. Somebody else does. Right. So
what gun do you use in Left 4 Dead?
That varies. Actually, I switch it out. I don't always do the same thing. And most of the time I melee. Most of the time I'm in the front with a katana or whatever it is that is the fastest melee weapon. If there is a fast melee weapon, I will be in the front with that. So. Yeah.
That's funny. There's something really satisfying about melee kills in that game and in first-person shooters in general.
I love meleeing in that game. It's ridiculous.
I got most of my kills when I played Halo by meleeing people. Like, I was a hair trigger on that old punch button.
But, and then, too, in other games, depending upon the mechanics of the guns, sometimes I really, really like sniping, and other times I absolutely can't stand it. So it's not even consistent. It's just upon, you know, the way that the guns move in each individual game. So.
Yeah. Oh, and David, how about you?
Sure. Well, first I'd say for Left 4 Dead, I'm dual pistols the whole way. In terms of these, I don't know. For me, I do, if it's a game I care about the storyline, I tend to do the duck feed standard, although usually with less emphasis on talkie stuff. For me, though, it tends to be, I tend to build a lot towards utility, and, you know, it's often less important to me to have strengths than it is to not have weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why, like in Dark Souls, I tend to play fairly eternally.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, in something like Fallout, like a lot, I spent a lot of the abilities on, you know, some of the, I can't think of specifics, but you know, there are a lot of abilities that just kind of more change the way combat works, or like would change, like that, you know, how you regenerate VATs and things like that. So yeah. I tend to spend a lot on that. So
yeah.
And if guns are an option, I like shooting things.
Yeah, I feel like Fallout was really good about kind of abiding that up to a certain point when it would really punish you for not having specialized in, you know, computer or lockpicking and stuff. Like, there would just be these times where it's like, oh, it's really too bad that you don't have 95 in the skill, because otherwise you could totally go through. Like, they very slowly raise the stakes on that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I tended to, in Fallout, I usually you know, had pretty high intelligence and stuff like that, so usually I kept all my utility skills high. Mm-hmm. And then I guess the only one I ever played was New Vegas, and with them kind of compacting the skills, it didn't seem like, it seemed like it's fairly easy to do guns and utility skills and basically be fine for the vast majority of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll do mine real quick just because everybody can kind of suss out from my general stances on most things that, yes, I do enjoy the talkie approach on stuff, especially if it can get me, like, you know, just into weirder situations than I otherwise would be able to fight my way into, and get me out of weirder situations that I otherwise would have fought myself, you know, out of. Like, it's all about the content, and it's all about uncovering as much story as I possibly can. If we're talking about just kind of like combat and the way that I like to play, I like kind of hit and run kind of stuff, where you end up, you know, just kind of like getting in and putting yourself in a lot of danger for a really high reward, and then getting out as quickly as possible, trying to manage how much danger you're in. So, like in Team Fortress 2, not Team Fortress 2, in Team Fortress Classic, I was the medic, which actually was more of like a scout kind of role than the scout was, specifically because I had a shotgun and the concussion grenade, which lets you do kind of like crowd control. Like, you got a lot of kills by doing that.
Hmm.
And so, like, even in like Mass Effect, I always played Vanguard because of the charge skill, right? That was just kind of like, you know, and it was less, okay, I'm going to get in here into this fracas, but I'm going to run up to this, do as much kind of damage as I can, and then get out of it as quickly as possible. Like, dive bombing almost is the way that I like to approach it. Whenever I'm not playing New Vegas, at which point I play a gunslinger, a la Stephen King's Dark Tower. And just have all of my hotkeys be different revolvers.
Oh, I feel like that's definitely a thing about New Vegas, is there's a certain degree in that game where I feel like it's kind of understood that you very, very well may decide at some point to start, you know, using some weapon just because you think it's cool.
Cool. Well, thank you, everybody, for responding to that. We're getting a lot of these responses, and we may end up having to start manage how long this segment gets. Let us know how you feel about that. I don't want to give anybody short shrift, but that is a very good problem to have, because you guys are coming out in force and you know, really stepping up the game in terms of the number and quality of responses. So I really appreciate it. If you want to get in on that, that is facebook.com/TheLevel Podcast.
We just got to start practicing speed reading.
Well, the awesome thing about it too is that the question didn't even pop up until really close to when we actually recorded.
Right. So people jumped all over it, which was good.
I wonder, like, it was just kind of awesome, because when I first saw the question, there was only just one response, and then I pull it up so we can read the multiplayer, and I'm like, holy crap, where did all these people come from?
Cool. I was kind of alarmed by that too. We'll figure something out. Yeah. But let's talk about the games we've been playing.
The grind.
It is now time for the grind, where we talk about the games we've been playing over the last couple weeks or so, since we were away last week. Does anybody want to volunteer to go first?
I can start us. Oh,
I'm going. Okay. Since you both said the same thing, Jala, since you are the guest here, I'm going to allow you to go first.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Is it okay, Ben?
No, that's totally cool.
Okay. I just wanted to ask before.
I'm just afraid of silence.
Yeah, don't second guess me.
Okay. So the two main games that I will tell you about is, I played the Star Trek game, which is based on the movies, the J.J. Abrams movies, and then also Mount Your Friends, both of which were given to me for purposes of co-op. Yeah, the Star Trek game, I don't really have a whole lot to say about it, mostly because it doesn't have a particularly interesting story. The graphics aren't great. The gameplay is passable, but it's kind of glitchy sometimes, and it doesn't really do anything to inform Star Trek as a whole, nor does it do anything to inform gaming as a whole. It's just kind of there. And the only thing I can actually say that is a very sharp memory is that there is a section after the beginning of the game where you have to do like a starship battle, but they don't telegraph what you're supposed to be doing, what you're supposed to be hitting, which person has control of what. And so we died a bunch trying to figure out what the hell was going on.
Right.
And that's about all I can say about that. It's not really all that exciting.
Yeah,
but I make up for that though with my other game. So first off, you have anything you want to ask or say about that? There's nothing really, I don't think.
So this is the one that's just called Star Trek, right?
Yeah, it's just Star Trek.
Cool. And it's a first-person shooter.
Yeah.
Man, that's just such a waste of that everything.
Yes. Yes.
the closest thing that we've gotten outside of, like, a couple of FMV games to, like, the actual, you know, Star Trek, like what you would think would make Star Trek good is, like, maybe there was an NES version of it. I think that was like a little bit like an adventure game a little bit.
What do you think a good Star
Trek
game would
be? What about
Artemis? What's our Artemis?
That's the game that's totally not based on Star Trek.
We're talking about things that are like a waste of the license, not stuff that actually does it right. outside of
this. Okay. Because I'm sorry. You know, I was trying to be optimistic.
Yeah.
We can't have any of that here, David.
I mean, Mass Effect 1 is the best Star Trek game I've ever played.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So to your question, Ben, what would make a good Star Trek game? I don't know. Maybe something that deals with, like, the themes?
Yeah. Okay.
just like at the didn't the new movies basically get rid of the themes?
I mean,
it's just an action movie. They just retold the entire. And okay, first off, I'm not a super Trekkie. I grew up watching Star Trek, but I'm not like uber fan with a phaser on my shelf, that kind of thing. And you know, whatever. So yeah. I'm not like uber fan, but yeah, like it's just a retelling of them as basically action movies, just to get a newer audience with a lower attention span interested in this thing because it's very slow moving in the original series. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's my spin on it. And the movies themselves are fine as long as you're just like, hey, it's an action movie with Star Trek-ishness, mm-hmm. you know? So,
yeah.
And that's actually why it was given to me. Slade wanted to play it co-op, mostly because we both were entertained by the movies. So we're like, okay, well, this can't hurt, can it? Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't quite hurt, but it's not exactly exciting either. So it's just kind of there.
Did it benefit from being co-op? Like, did you get the sense it was designed around co-op or?
Well, it's Kirk and Spock. So, you know, like that's it. You place Kirk and Spock and you go through the game and that's about it. Like there are some parts where you do interact directly with each other, but it's not, it doesn't feel super necessary. It's not like playing any number of other co-op games that actually complement each other well or anything. Like I said, I mean, the gameplay is there. It's operational. It is cool. It is not awesome. So, you know, it does not do anything innovative or interesting with the co-op function.
Yeah, Spock, known for his combat prowess.
As I say, that should be a blurb on the back of the box. Operational.
Hey, sometimes that's a feat when it comes to games. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, look at EA.
It runs IGN. Yeah, yep. I don't know. I'm not a huge, like, Trekkie either. Like, I think that the Next Generation is really cool. It's a good show, but like I want something that kind of approaches the even just give me like a Starship simulator. Like that'd be pretty cool. Like,
just,
let me be a captain.
Have a role playing game that's literally a role playing game on the Deep Space Nine station. That would be fun.
Yes. You know?
Totally.
Only
but
Star
that's
Trek
it.
I can stomach.
What were you gonna say, Ben?
I was thinking of Sid Meier's Pirates, but just with Star Trek.
Yeah, or just a like a reskinning or a licensing of FTL.
There you go.
See,
or Artemis, which is literally just being on the bridge.
Yep. Gratuitous space battles, another one.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't know, but like I want to go to like planets. What's that?
Yeah,
Eve.
Yeah, Eve. There, Star Trek Online. No, yeah, not so much that.
Well, I still like the joke point out that if you look at the backstories, basically Eve is what Star Trek Online should be, and Star Trek Online is what Eve should be.
I don't know enough about the backstory of Eve Online to understand
you're,
outside of that.
You're
joke.
Basically jacked into your ship matrix style, so presumably flying it, like a shooter would make sense,
right? Talk to me about Match Your Friends, because this game looks fucking weird.
Okay, so let me explain this. My friend John, who's a fellow podcaster, different podcast, Geek Life podcast on pandamanga.com, he is a buddy that I get together with as often as we can, like once a week. Like we have a scheduled time that as long as we don't have anything else going on, which, you know, that is only kind of spotty, we play a game. Well, the first game I got to play for this year is a game he gave me, Mount Your Friends. And Mount Your Friends, if you don't know anything about this game, it is a game with these big muscle men who have Speedos on and their junk swings around, and basically you control with WASD, you control the arms and the legs, and you kind of drag yourself in this very awkward fashion over, and the first person starts, then the second person gets onto the screen and has to make, you know, climb on top of the first person and make, you know, the stack higher, and the point is to get as high as you can before the time runs out, taking turns and, you know, stacking up. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it that makes it really magical is that John had played this game on New Year's Eve with some friends and got drunk while playing, and you can make skins for these. So he yep. made skins for, you know, heads and for bodies. The most notable head was the Nicolas Cage head. He also made one for me and one for himself and some others. And then the most notable body was a body that was made out of penises. The entire body was penises. And then, you know, like when you would see, say, my face on a penis body, that was very, very crazy, especially like when you start stacking them up on top of each other and then you're grabbing with little penis hands. Like, I had a bottle of champagne that I was supposed to drink on New Year's and didn't drink, but then as soon as I started playing this game, I'm like, oh my God, we actually put the video, because both of us have dual monitors, so we put the Skype video on one side so we could watch each other's face and then I was like, I'm drinking, and so I drank my bottle of champagne playing this game, because I was like, oh my God, this hurts. It was actually pretty awesome, but at the same time, yeah, it drove me to drink. And I have a lot of inappropriate screenshots that I cannot upload anywhere because they are very inappropriate.
The internet is no place for male news.
Well, I can't, let's put it this way. I can't put this up on, my website, right, you know, any place associated with my name, or not on my Steam account or my face, but, you
it's
know,
not obviously. On brand. It's not on brand. That's what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Can I read the top review for this game on Steam?
Please do.
If it's going to be homophobic, I'm going to be upset, but okay. No.
Basically, you just dick around trying to erect a man mountain while waiting for someone to cock up. I'm not being hard on the game. I say it isn't very slong and doesn't contain a massive load of game mode or a penetrating plot.
Did you say a massive load
overall,
of game?
It's a nice package. It's not expensive, so you won't feel shafted blowing your wad, and your wallet will retain its bulge.
Nice. Well, that's another thing, too, is that, you know, like, you can't change the fact that there's a swinging thing between the legs. So when you have, say, my face on it, and it's a bunch of dicks, and then there's, like, a dick swing, it's like, oh, God, this hurts.
Oh, Japan will be all over that.
Yeah, and then just all the different positions in which these bodies end up on top of each other as they go up in this giant pile is so funny. And I can just imagine how much hilarity ensued when he played this game on New Year's Eve, getting drunk with buddies, and had a bunch of people playing. I'm like, oh my God, that would be hilarious.
So is the goal to make the tallest man tower you can make?
Yes. And then whoever, like, it's just until you can't go anymore, like until somebody screws up and can't, like, misses the time, you know, because, like, there's a certain time limit on it, and as you go, as it gets taller and taller, it's harder to keep adding to it in the time limit because it's, you know, shorter and shorter. So if you screw up at all, then at that point, you know, it's game over for you and the other person wins. Right. So,
yeah. So this is like World of Gooey Ragdoll Chovaniki.
Something like that.
Yeah. Huh. The visual design of these guys really, really unsettles me. Not because they're, you know, naked dudes, whatever, but the dead, lifeless, tiny eyes mixed with the round black mouths that are less mouths and more abyss portals, and their incredibly prominent nipples. Like, I don't know that a nipple has ever been more prominent on a sprite ever in the history of mankind.
I know, and that's part of what makes it pretty amazing looking, especially when you start adding, in different people's heads on top of it. Yeah. It's just like, oh wow, okay. He did this because I sent him, we were talking about games, and I sent him, this is on my wish list. I want to get I Am Bread. And he watched it and he was completely confused about this game. And I'm like, I don't know. His whole goal in life, this piece of bread, is to become toast. That's right. Pretty awesome. And so he gave me Mount Your Friends because of that.
Yeah.
So
I mean, and also isn't the voice of the bread Troy Baker?
I
think it actually might be Troy Baker.
He has to be in every game. So
yeah, like that was one of the things they actually managed to land him. Yep, it is Troy Baker. So good on you guys. Good get.
I really hope this kind of gets ported simply because I want to see how the ratings end up. And like I want to read the rating review for Australia.
That was so that was a thing, right? Because the original version of this, they didn't have thongs. They were just kind of, you know, wing wangly ding dongs, just kind of, you know, hanging out there.
Oh, wow.
Right. Cool. And it was hilarious to see, even just as this, I think, was on Greenlight, the amount of people who were just taking so much offense to this homosexual filth, this depravity that is on here defiling my games. Why does this happen? It's like, dude, just chill the fuck out.
Yeah, right.
Like just have a dong, just like put a dong in a game and just be fucking cool for like a second.
And then meanwhile in Saints Row someone will be hit with a dildo.
Yeah.
The end. Like, and what
you yeah know? You know, it just like that. Just the it was like the weirdest little like just island of outrage around like just this weird stance. I was like, oh, you're just like not down with like gay people. Okay, cool. Or like you don't want to. I'm afraid that I'm like ascribing too much to these guys. You're reading into it. A lot of the stuff that I read was very much like people thinking if I don't say something bad about this, people will think I like dicks. Like that was very much the tone that I saw.
By like, the way, Island of Outrage is the best name of something ever. It needs to be the name of something important.
there was a fantastic, I think Slate did an article. It was the year of 2014 Outrage in Review. It was a calendar and it was all 365 days, and you could click on it and you could see what people were most angry about that day.
Wow.
Yeah. It puts it all in perspective because half of it I didn't like remember ever happening. Yeah. But is it fun, Jala?
It is fun. It's more like it's not going to be super exciting if you're just playing by yourself, but the more people you have, I think it's a super awesome party game. I think like if you're hanging out with a bunch of people and you're all playing this game and you're just laughing at each other and laughing at this ridiculous thing, and then just all the different combinations you can make. Like I said, if you make your own skins, it makes it way funnier and it's really simple to do. They have templates for it in, you know, the Steam folders, so you know you can do that. Just drop it in there. The only thing is that because there were all different kinds of crazy skins being made, you have to actually like email the copy of the skins to the people you're going to play with if you're going to be playing over the internet, because they don't, you know, they don't automatically get your skins because offensive, you know. So because they might just get dick bodies or something. You
know? And well, like, what's wrong with that? Yeah.
I will email you, Cole. I will email you and show you what these look like.
Okay, cool.
So you can see this magic. It is pretty great.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It seems like a fun novelty at the very least.
It is. It is a fun novelty, and it's something that you would go back to every once in a while when you're like, I kind of want to play a game, but I don't want to be invested in anything. Oh my God, this will make me laugh my ass off. Yeah. That's pretty much what this game is for.
Yeah.
With this control style, I really want an Octaget Dad skin.
Right? Right? The thing is John had made at least a couple of Simpsons skins, I think. Or Futurama, was it? Futurama. Okay. So he'd made like a Futurama skin. So I'm sure Octodad, somebody at least has made that out there somewhere. But if not, maybe it could be you.
Yeah. That's a free idea on the house. Nothing shows up in Google image search. So have at thee. Yeah. Huh. Ben, how about you? Since you also chimed in.
Yeah, I was just going to say, because I did not have much, because I have been moving the past week or two, but I've continued playing Dragon Age, and it continues to be acceptable. So,
yeah, like, you couldn't damn this game any further, Ben, with fainter fine. Praise.
That's fine. Yeah, it's a faint praise game. I don't know. It's a it's fine. It's, you know, like, it's not as good as some of their other entries, but I think that's a matter of preference on my part. Yeah, yeah. I'm more into science fiction than I am into fantasy, and so that's kind of – I think that's kind of my apprehension towards the game. But, I mean, there are cool parts of it, but there's also places they can improve. So one of the mechanics is kind of managing the map is becoming more of a thing. So you're getting into the rhythm of exploring a new area, and then you go back to your home base and you talk to your basically the leaders of the Inquisition, and you have them do things at the places that you visited to kind of unlock further areas or improve areas. And so that's a kind of a new mechanic in a game that I haven't seen before, where you're kind of having a dynamic effect on the areas that you're visiting. It's kind of similar, so maybe it's not new, but it's kind of similar to, Bastion? The way that you upgrade like your home base. It's kind of like that, except it's, you know, in the open world, you're slightly, you know, changing the geography of that to unlock more content.
Right.
So it's a cool system, but there's some things like it would be much cooler if you could kind of do it on the fly, maybe, and not have to spend half the time like traveling back and forth between places. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, overall, it's not bad. I think one of my other problems is, you know, I'd like to get to one of the more pertinent missions, but I also am kind of playing it like a completionist. So it's kind of slow between the upbeats of the game for me right now. So that might be another issue that is self-imposed. So,
yeah. I mean, do you feel like your completionism is adversely affecting your enjoyment of the game?
Maybe. I don't know. But that's my own demon.
Yeah,
you're not my therapist. That's it. Cole.
Tiger got a hunt. Fish got to fly. Yep. That is funny. I desperately want to play this game, but like, I need to be at least a month ahead on assignment play before I can really like get into it. And that means I need to beat Shovel Knight, Lords of the Fallen, and Star Control 2 like today in order to like play it tomorrow.
Put a pot of coffee on.
It's gonna be a long night. Nancy, boil up some Mountain Dew. Yeah, that's a King of the Hill quote for all of you who know that. So how often are you like changing around your party? Like, have you settled on a group of people? Like, I did these guys as stees, or is it more, you know, I want to see as much as possible?
No, yeah, I settled very early on a party. So basically, whatever party I have, I keep until I get another companion that I think is cooler, and then I'll add them to the rotation. But the way it is now is I have one of each class. So I have a rogue, I have a mage, and I have a fighter. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say too much about them in case somebody hasn't played the game, that it's kind of like their character surprise or whatever. So they're all characters that I like, at least. So except for the mage, I can replace. So that might... That might be the next one to go, but you know.
The mage is on the bubble.
Draw notice, mage.
Thin fucking ice there, Merlin.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. So I like it. There's going to be, I mean, you know, I don't want to make it seem like it's a bad game, but maybe that's because I feel pressured since it's been given the Game of the Year award so many times.
Oh, yeah.
But I
mean, there can be a voice of reason. Like, you can not like a thing.
I mean, it's definitely it's such like a big game that it's like a very impressive achievement that it's done, I guess. But like, that it's complete. There are still some kind of wrinkles in it, and Again, I think a lot of it's preference based, so I don't think a lot of my complaints are completely valid. But yeah.
You can have opinions, though. That's fine. They're valid. Really, It's empowering.
No jokes, no opinions on this podcast. Yeah. We got to play it straight.
Guys, just going to talk about video games from beginning to end.
We love video games and objectivism. No, yep. I don't know. Yeah. So overall, it's fine. I'll keep playing it. I'll keep updating with lukewarm reviews.
Do you have anything in the hopper for after this?
No. That's one of the things I was looking up today is kind of release dates for what's coming out in the future. So there's some good things on the rise. There's The Order is coming out soon. Evolve's coming out soon. Yeah. And then I also saw a release date, a date, quote unquote, for The Last Guardian in Q4 2015.
Yeah, that's what they'll do they'll do for retailers to make sure that they can still take pre-orders on it. Is if there is no date, they will put it on 12/31 of that year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that doesn't mean anything. That's just cool. GameStop toying with your heartstrings.
Cool.
Sorry.
I've already pre-ordered this game 6 times.
Have you? Really?
No.
Okay.
No.
Ooh, I was gonna say, good God.
No. So if you pre-order a game and it gets canceled, do you get your money back?
If you ask nicely.
What if you ask meanly? Can they say no?
Well, you're going to have to ask meanly, because even if the game is canceled, all right, you walk into any place that takes pre-orders on games. I'm not going to name specifics, but you know exactly where I'm talking about. And you say, "Hey, I don't think The Last Guardian's ever going to come out. I have $5 on it. Can I get those $5 back?" You would have an easier time, like, leaving the Cosa Nostra than you would getting that $5 back, because that
is there like a, is there a script set up with like a bunch of different questions to ask you before they give you the $5 back?
Well, what happens is, right, even if that game was canceled, even if it was just kind of like, hey, you know what, we done fucked up, like, you know, just whatever, here, take it back, that still counts as a negative number, not just for the store, but for that particular employee who got that cancellation, right?
Ooh.
And those negative numbers, depending on how much of a cock your DA is, like, they're going to come in and start like upbraiding you for like, why didn't you meet your quota, et cetera, et cetera. We can't technically fire you for this, but we can actually cut down on your hours, stuff like that. So what you're going to get is, well, is there anything else coming out that you would like to, you know, pre-order? Okay, cool. Because like, oh, it's a whole big thing to get your $5 back. It's easier just to move it over to something else. And then if there's anything else you want to pre-order on top of that, so we turn it from a net neutral to a net positive, then yeah, yeah. And if they're a real dick, what they'll do is they'll pick up the list of stuff that's coming out and go down the list. I've seen this strategy used of like, oh, here's this new MLB game coming out. Do you want to pre-order that? No. Well, how about this? No. Until you just have to very firmly state, I want my $5 or I'm going to just flip a table.
I'm going to do $5 in damage at the store.
Yep. I will take $5 worth of merchandise. So help me God, call the police. Nobody would convict me because you stole my money. Life hack, never pre-order anything.
Pre-orders confuse me now.
Anyway.
That there should be a hard cut from that sentence.
Yep. Huh. I'm going to go because I really don't have much. Like, I have a couple of like DS, 3DS games that I'm like not far enough into to actually render an opinion. Attack of the Friday Monsters was recommended by somebody on the Watch Out for Fireballs Facebook page, but I haven't played far enough into it to have an opinion really. With some Christmas money, I ordered Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright. Weirdly enough, both of these are level 5 games. So I guess I have a theme now. I don't know. But recognizing that I didn't have anything new to bring to the table, because for the past couple weeks I've been slaving away over Brave Fencer Goddamn Musashi. I hate it so much. It is not a good game, you guys.
I'm disappointed that it's not Brave Hamster Musashi.
Just reskin it for that hamster anime craze from the early 2000s. Brave Hamtaro Musashi. Brave Hamster Dams Musashi. And yes, you'll notice I did just say Brave Hamster Dams Musashi. So we're all over the place here. But what am I thinking of here? The actual game that I popped in to have something to talk about, played about a half an hour of Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
Oh no!
Oh, that looks so good.
How was that?
That's pretty great, you guys.
Yay!
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I picked it up on a Steam sale here this winter. The Christmas one, it was like $6. It's like, yeah, we've talked shit about the title of this game enough, but like, I played it. It is a platinum ass platinum game.
Yay!
which is great, right? Like, so it feels right at home. It feels like a little bit like a Metal Gear Solid skin on top of Bayonetta, to the extent that for some reason Raiden's cyborg body has high heels built into it. Like some Freddie Mercury ass, like high heels striding around, and like it is Bayonetta to the core, insofar as even he will also put his sword into his feet somehow and attack with feet swords. Right?
Awesome.
There's also a scene where you're running down a clock tower, like clock towers figure heavily into the first stage, you know? But yeah, like the play is on point. Like I've been overusing on point. I'm so sorry, you guys. But the play's there. Like it is a beat 'em up that kind of really requires you to pay attention to the enemies. So like every platinum game kind of has its little gimmick. Like in God Hand, it was definitely like, oh, you're going to really need to learn how to time your dodges and use these built-in attacks in addition to these combos that you build. In Bayonetta, it's the witch time thing. Actually, you just like using that to fill up a resource that lets you go into slow motion. In this, in Revengeance, what you have to do is you have to watch these enemies. Like pretty much everybody else is like you. They are cyborgs who have swords. And to parry their attacks, you have to watch what direction their attack is coming in from, either a vertical or a horizontal slice. And you have to press in that same direction and attack it like exactly the right moment. And if you do that, it opens you up for like blade mode or whatever. And this is the mode that was like really heavily, put out there as like the defining. Put out there as like the defining feature of this, which is it's slow motion. Time is like moving at a crawl, and you're just using the right stick to carve patterns into them. And what is left over is it looks like cube steak. You know, except
have you managed to do the Zoro pattern?
Yes, that is one of the first things that I did, in addition to also just cutting off people's legs. Apparently, if all you do is cut people's legs off, so parry them, go into blade mode, cut their legs off, they're disabled, but they don't actually die. So that is a way that you can get a non-lethal run.
That sounds disturbing, man.
That's some Batman logic right there. And the level of gore in this actually is kind of upsetting. Like when you're cutting apart stuff that is,
yeah, I mean, from the premise.
Like, you know, the cyborgs in Metal Gear Solid 4, they had white blood, but no, they replaced that with red blood in this. It's not actually blood, it's hydraulic fluid or whatever, but like you're cutting people up and turning them into meat. Like, it's fine when the first boss fight, like throughout the first level, you are fighting a Metal Gear Ray.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I'm cutting off the armor plates. And like it ends with a super badass hyper anime shot of you cutting it in half lengthwise.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like it is that level of like platinum over the top. And I'm just like laughing the whole way through it because it's just crazy. It's crazy and audacious in a way that I can't help but respect. Right. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make a goddamn lick of sense, but there's so much style that I kind of just have to like go into it. And, you know, that would be fine, but it's kind of a bonus that like it's really fun to play as well and like really hard.
Mm-hmm.
But even with that, they have like these little concessions to it. Like if there's an area effect attack that's about to like come in, you have this heads up display that kind of, you know, is all around there. It's Raiden's, you know, special site or whatever that actually shows like, here's the area that this is going to hit. You might want to move out of this, right? Like it's these little
just
like
suggesting.
Yeah. You just, it's just little books that says you might want to move 5 feet that way. It's real quiet in the mix. You have to pay attention. Yeah. But like just a lot of these like ease of use kind of things that make it kind of a, at least from what I've seen, a real joy to play. Again, the story, not really there. In fact, it's probably the least subtle that that Metal Gear has ever been. Like down to the point where the main bad guy that you see so far looks like Dick Cheney Speaks. Well, he's Cyborg Dick Cheney. He has like a super smug Dick Cheney face that is embedded in, you know, what appears to be like a Ninja Turtle robot villain.
Awesome.
And he speaks with a very like thick like Texan accent, and like every word that he says is espousing the value of the war economy. And right before he kills the president of this African nation that you're trying to stabilize in order to start a war to profit off of it, he says, "All that I'm saying is give war a chance." Like, oh, so like there's just like there's no tact or subtlety to this at all. Not that there ever was much before, but they're just like right out in front of it, which I can get down with.
I respect this.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, it's so farcical in a way that's just kind of like just enchanting.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. And like, you have this thing called like Ninja Dash or whatever. So think like, you know, when you were in parkour mode in Assassin's Creed, where you just hold down this button and you run and just all these little minor obstacles you're just kind of like mounting over. You know, like there's no real jumping that you have to do, no real like navigation, but they still want to make the area of play like varied. What this does is you do the Ninja Dash and it says, no matter what you're doing in this area, you're going to do it in the most stylish way possible. So you could just do a manual jump from place to place, but why don't you just dash over it and just like, you know, barely make it and mantle up like it is like the Saints Row style button in a way. as you go about nice. This, right? Like it has an added benefit of, as you're doing this, if somebody is shooting projectiles at you, it automatically slices the bullets out of the air. So you actually do want to. It's not just to to navigate space, which it has you do from time to time, but it's more about like conserving this and using it at the right time to both close the distance and protect yourself as you go in for a really high damage like slide attack, or if you're just running down a corridor of these guys and tapping X as you're ninja dashing, slicing them in half as you go along. Like, it is so ridiculously over the top, which I feel like I've said about 10 times, but it really hammers home like what kind of makes this special that is ridiculous and over the top. Like,
all right.
just reiterating that. Technically, so I'm playing it on PC, and it's like a 26 gigabyte download, which the only thing I can think of, like, there's no reason for that, except maybe they rendered all of the cutscenes out as like full HD video. Like that, like everything looks like it's an engine, but it appears to be, you know, actual just rendered video that was made using assets from the game, which is a no-no. Like, don't do that. That is hostile to the player, especially as they're playing it. That, and there were at least 3 glitches that made me have to reboot or restart from a checkpoint. So it's not the most stable thing. But yeah. So that
sounds cool.
Yeah, like,
that actually sounds. Was that on consoles at all?
Yeah, it's on like PlayStation 3 and Xbox. Like.
Okay.
It's a thing. You can probably get it really cheap. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I feel like we kind of shat on it because of its name and kind of the more ridiculous stuff about it. But like, that is what Platinum does, is crazy over the top. And I think that I had to play God Hand again to really get that, you know, clarified for me. And to, like, get me ready to be, you know, kind of all about this, because I like the Metal Gear, you know, the Metal Gear universe. I like, you know, the general aesthetic of it, and this is a great extension of that.
God Hand is fun.
God, it's so good.
Although, according to the wiki, revengeance is not actually a word.
It's a combination of both revenge and vengeance.
Surprising no one.
What if that was a surprise to somebody?
Like, would wait, you wanna, no, like, no, I spelled it wrong. According to this spelling, it is English, obsolete, vengeance, revenge.
Okay.
All right. So the person who made the title also made the definition.
Wait a minute. If I just Google Revengeance, this is the first. Like, this game is the first result. Published 1913? Okay, Merriam-Webster. Yeah, no, this is a citation from the 1913 Merriam-Webster Dictionary. I don't know, guys. The provenance of this is really upsetting me, actually. Huh.
Revengeance. To venge a second time.
Yes. Huh. But yeah, that is Metal Gear Rising. I'm pretty stoked on it, actually.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yep. David, how about you?
Sure. I've just been playing Infamous. So I'm about 60% of the way through the game, according to its little completion thing.
This is Infamous Second Son?
No, the original Infamous. So oh, okay. I don't know if it matters, but I figure while I can get them cheap, I might as well play through the other games before I try Second Son.
Okay.
So, so far it's a pretty good game overall. It's kind of fun running around blasting things. The more system in general is just incredibly poorly done. Just
incredibly black and white, basic rote kind of thing, or
it's more the more choices are just I think like it's black and white, good and evil, but where the evil is kind of like mustache twirling, like, you know, it's things where like one of the early ones is like you know, like, oh, I can either, you know, they've airdropped this food. I can either, you know, keep it all for myself and, like, kill some people to scare them away. Or I can just, you know, let everyone have some. But there's no, like, in-game hunger mechanic or anything. Similarly, like, at one point, it's like, oh, man, I need to disarm this bomb. But it might go off while I'm doing it. Should I disarm it or make this other guy do it? And then when you go to disarm it, nope, it doesn't go off. Like, I think actually one of my friends explained it best, where she said it's not so much good versus evil so much as it's good versus lazy. But and then the other thing is just like it's very much like it's supposed to kind of be also, like, using your powers is, you know, like, the degree to which you just, you know, blow everything up in the, you know, and, you know, not worry about collateral damage as you're fighting bad guys, or do you try to be precision? But the problem is, you know, as the game goes on, it very quickly becomes non-viable to play with any sort of precision. Simply because, you know, there's so many enemies and they can take so many hits. And then it's a thing where, like, you know, most of my fights, I'm literally just anything within a block radius is getting blown up. Mm-hmm. But then, like, as long as I heal a handful of people, I'm basically, you know, no net change in karma.
Right.
So
do you find that is keeping you from going down and getting some of the better attacks from those different paths that you might go?
No, I've already maxed out. Like, basically, there's all over the place, like, people who just randomly are injured. And if you heal them as you see them and take the good more choices when presented with them in the storyline, mm-hmm. you'll basically end up at max karma.
Right.
So,
and it's Infamous 2 where they split it off, and the good path is electricity and the bad path is fire, right?
I think I haven't played 2, but I think it's the good path. I think both paths are electricity, and then good is ice, evil is fire. Hmm. I could be wrong because I haven't played it, but that's what I thought. In this one, there tends to be there are different upgrade paths for each of the powers, and which it tends to be like good has more kind of utility changes, so like crowd control effects, whereas evil tends to just be much bigger explosions. There is one exclusive power, but it's just laughably useless.
Right.
Basically, it's a very large charge-up attack that if you hit metal and someone's like hiding behind it for cover, it'll shock them. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, like, it does so little damage, you can just do it like 6 times in a row and it won't drop a person.
Right.
So, but the storyline, I don't know, have any of you guys played this at all?
I played it when they did the, like, we're sorry that we lost all your information thing, like, 5 years ago.
Sure.
The consolation infamous.
Yeah.
The storylines, I mean, pretty much serviceable. It's, you know, none of the voice act. I know, like, the voice acting is very much like I'm, you know, Gruff McHeroson.
Right.
You know, it's very, very just kind of stereotypical. The only character that's really interesting at all is kind of your side, the comic relief character, Zeke, mainly because, you know, he's kind of the only character that's not, you know, that's just kind of a normal dude. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit frustrating because, like, one of the missions, I guess, like, I'm not going to spoiler it. I can spoiler a 10-year-old game. Is that...
That's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Okay. The game's not that, like, great.
Basically, at one point, you capture a guy that's basically a supervillain. And, like, his, you know, minions are invading the prison, and you're, like, holding him off. And then, like, in the final wave, you know, kind of Zeke's motivating factor is that he's kind of this guy who's been kicked around his whole life, so he, you know, it's kind of, he's actually the one that wants to be a hero, whereas you don't really. So he kind of comes out and joins the fight.
Hmm.
And then the guy inside is, you know, escapes and uses his psychic powers to, like, murder all the cops in the prison. And your character and everyone just goes off on Zeke, you know, oh, why, you know, if you had abandoned your post, this never would have happened. It's like, how is the chubby guy with a gun going to have stopped the scion who killed an entire prison full of cops? Mm-hmm. Like, the only thing that would have changed if he had been there is he would have been dead. So it's, I don't know, like, it's, so far I'm kind of disappointed in how they've used him, but oh well. So.
Did you ever play, oh gosh, Prototype?
I did not. That's on my list of games I'd like to play. I know it's kind of the, you know, they both came out at the same time and have a lot of similarities.
Yeah, Prototype is the Armageddon to Infamous's, not Deep Blue Sea, Deep Impact. There we go. Yeah, it's the Armageddon to Deep Impact a little bit. It was developed by the guys who did the Incredible Hulk game, and it's pretty much about, do you want to run up the side of the building and throw a semi at a helicopter? If yes, play Prototype. If no, play Infamous. Like, they were both very, very similar. They came out at around the same time. It just so happened that Infamous was exclusive to the PlayStation 3. I was just curious because that would be my only point of comparison to, like, a superpower open world game from that era, I guess.
They're both very similar to Spider-Man.
Yep.
Spider-Man 2.
Actually, Prototype began its life as a Spider-Man game.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little weird because I would almost say, and this is would a little bit maybe be one of my bigger, you know, from the gameplay, I really have, there would be two things if I was going to say something wrong with it. One, that your powers very much over time end up being like first-person shooter stand-ins.
Yeah.
So, like, you have a grenade power, you have a rocket launcher power, stuff like that.
Right.
Which is all right. The other thing is, you know, later on, one of the big things is, you know, they have their collectibles, which is how you basically expand how much experience you have. But once you get to about the second area of the game, it, platforming up to those very much becomes, it's difficult because the difficulty is based on the flaws in their platforming engine.
Right.
So, like, one of the things is, like, as compared to, like, Assassin's Creed, it's very much, like, if you come within range to grab something, you automatically grab onto it.
Right.
So they'll, like, purposely place these shards you're supposed to collect in areas where it's hard to get to, because as you're trying to drop down and get it, you'll automatically grab onto things.
Hmm.
It's like, you know, why would you build puzzles around flaws in your system?
Right.
Yeah, it's the solution to a problem that they created by clunky mechanics. Yeah.
Right.
What's crazy about it is, like, these are the guys who did Sly, like the Sly Cooper games, which very much were that kind of same variety of traversal puzzle kind of stuff.
Sure.
You know, climbing around and grabbing onto things. Like, this is their evolution of that. So it's weird that they didn't, you know, kind of step their game up, I guess.
Yeah, and I mean, to be fair, overall, I think it's got a lot going for it. The grabbiness is nice in terms of, you know, it tends to make it so you have a lot less of, like, the Assassin's Creed where it's like, I'm not going to try this difficult jump because I might, you know, I might miss it, you know, might not, you know, hit the button at the right time. Whereas in this, like, if you know you can make a jump, you're pretty much safe doing it. So it has some nice features.
Mm-hmm.
And grinding on electric lines is just kind of fun.
Yeah. I need to get on my PlayStation 4 and download Infamous First Light. Because I
is
desperately...
Is that the third one? Or that, what is that one?
Second Son was the third one, weirdly enough. And First Light is kind of the expansion pack for it. You play as a girl who has power over Neon, which makes this the first open world game where you play as the Dazzler from the X-Men.
Nice.
Which I want to do that, like, really, really badly.
See, the only thing I've been holding off is I haven't seen stuff where will that, you know, mess up the storyline if you're eventually going to play Second Son.
I don't know. I don't really care to play Second Son. It doesn't look that great to me. However, Infamous First Light does.
I'm kind of interested to see what TV powers give you or whatever.
TV powers?
Yeah.
Wait.
So apparently you're in
is television an element now?
Infamous, you get your powers by, like, you know, downloading draining electricity.
Right.
Apparently in Second Son, you get the ability to, you know, drain, like, smoke and, you know, stuff like that for your fire powers, neon lights for your neon powers, and TV for, I guess, TV powers.
So I
understand. Is that a character in Willy Wonka?
Yeah, Mike TV. I understand getting charge for your power from televisions, like walking by a storefront, you know, like they have these days, the storefront with the television showing whatever is happening in the world right now. But I don't know how TV powers manifest themselves in a way that you play a game with them.
Yeah.
Is my big thing.
Let's see here.
I mean, it's probably going to be exactly the same stuff. Here is my machine gun power. Here is my shotgun power. Is there do you have any final thoughts on Infamous before we close up?
No.
Cool. Sorry, we're running up on time, and I'm very sleepy. Ben, can we button it up?
Please.
the credits.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Level. I've forgotten which episode this even is, because I forgot to name this file before I started it. That is not what you want to hear, though. You want to hear the results of our Amiibo giveaway contest thingamajig. Yes, so our listener, Nick, who you've probably heard in our comments, sent us 4 Amiibos, and Dennis put up a contest about writing haiku that incorporate our episode titles. And we all picked some from the winners, and we're going to go down kind of our list right now. Each person is going to receive an Amiibo. If I don't have your address through the Patreon, then I'll be reaching out to you to figure out how to send these out. Maybe give me a week or so to send them out. but yeah, let's go through here. Ben, why don't you read the one that both you and Dennis picked?
Well, seriously, let's talk about erections. The Butterfield bump. And that was written by Jeff Dejinger.
Yeah.
Dejinger. Yeah.
Good job, Jeff. The haiku is so nice.
I believe this one made Dennis laugh aloud at work. So
yes. If the comments are to be believed, then yes. So Jeff, you're getting an Amiibo. And which one you get is totally up to me. David, why don't you read your winner?
Dennis Furia. I shot him with my car gun. 3 hams will kill him.
Yep.
By Allison Baker.
That was told a little story.
We all like haikus about killing Dennis.
Yep. Also, working in a Brock Show reference that we made 2 years ago. Oh, man, the Brock Show. Jala, why don't you throw it on one?
Okay. A fun indie game with some cheap bullshit endings. Don't Rage Quit the Yogg by Samuel Bear.
Hey, Sam, you're getting an Amiibo. How about that? Yeah, I like that you worked that into a perfectly functional review of the Yogg. And I'll round us out with our 4th winner. Goddamn Parliament. Boring is the head that wears vestigial crown. And that was Russell Nix, with a little bit of political commentary about the pitfalls of symbolic monarchy. So that is right. Russell, Jeff, Allison, and Sam will be reaching out to you shortly about getting your Amiibos.
Woo!
Yes. And thanks again to Nick for so kindly providing those. They are sitting in my living room, and if I had a Wii, I would probably, you know, just throw them into my game a little bit. It's RFID.
Do the game store that we shall not mention tactic.
Yeah, a little bit. No, I wasn't going to open the package. You just set the package on there. It's good. Everything is fine. I wouldn't do that to you guys. These are really cool little figurines. I can see why people like them. So yeah, that was that episode of The Level. Thank you everybody for listening. Thank you, Jala, for stepping in and covering for Dennis, who couldn't be here because of work.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a while.
Yeah. Been a while. Yeah.
That's not how you want to end a podcast.
I mean, that's how you ought to end a podcast, because nothing should come after that. Go ahead.
Oh, but I do have to say, this comes out on Friday, and this weekend I'm going to PAX South. So nobody who is going to PAX South is probably going to be listening to the podcast this weekend, but I will be there anyway. So I did put a message up on The Level and in other places. So if you happen to be there, tweet me.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you know these people or meet them solely because of a Duckfeed affiliation, I expect you to only talk about our shows. Anything else would be a breach of contract. So
you did sign the non-compete before you did the show, right?
Man, this the food's really good at this convention. I didn't expect it. Burr. I don't expect you guys to do that. But I hope you have a good time at PAX South.
I hope so, too. Yeah. And I hope to be able to pop on it sooner or later and then say something about it.
Yeah.
Yay. Cool.
Yeah. So I think let's get to the plugs. Jala, is there anything that you want people to check out?
NeonSkyStudio.com. It has things on it. It's pretty neat.
Yes. All of those things are true. Yeah. And for us, you know the usual deal. We have the Facebook page. We've also got the iTunes ratings and reviews. We got a new review here recently. That's always appreciated. That does make a huge difference, actually. Like, even a handful of them coming in at the same time helps more people see it through some kind of weird voodoo that happens on the backside at Apple. So if you are a new listener who hasn't already submitted a review, it takes a couple of seconds, and that is a wonderful way to help us out. But otherwise, keep on listening, tell your friends, and we're so happy to have you here. So for The Level, I've been Cole Ross, at Cole Ross on Twitter.
I've been David Moneysmith at Moneysmith777 on Twitter.
I'm always Jala, Jala Chan, and Neon Sky Studio, and Salem War Comic, yep, on Twitter.
And I'm Ben Merkel at Merkelizer on Twitter.
Yes. And let us all observe revised code 433. Gotta do it on a big pan.
Yeah, I'm thinking you would need like a wok.
You like where would you need to walk?
Wait, what?
I mean, kitchen's right there. You don't need to walk anywhere.
I'm shaking my head at you. You can't see it, but I totally am.
Oh, here's Jala. I'm gonna add Jala.